Stock deep to right center field by Davis. That's up, and another one finds the seats. A two-run home run. And the Orioles go out in front 5-2.
Not a fun bottom of the eighth inning. Not a fun series at all. Bottom of the eighth inning, though, the Blue Jays tied the Orioles 2-2. And Adam Jones leads off with a home run off of Casey Jansen. Then Matt Wieters singles. And then that home run by Chris Davis, two-run shot off of Darren Oliver. And the Blue Jays fall 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays get swept by the O's. The team that I continue to firmly believe is going to finish in last place in the American League East this year. The Blue Jays are in a huge offensive rut right now. As I mentioned before, they scored one earned run in this entire series. And that just won't fly. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Welcome your phone calls, but there are 143 games left. Nobody call and tell me the season's over. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And just a reminder that today the Seattle Mariners beat the Detroit Tigers 5-4. The Tigers still going to be tied for first place in the AL Central, but with the exact same record as the Blue Jays at 10-9. And Detroit is going to finish with the best record in the American League. And they just got swept by a bad, bad Seattle team at home. The Blue Jays just got swept by a bad Baltimore team. At least it was on the road. To the phones we go. And we start in the GUE. Robert in Guelph listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I moved from, I was in New York for 10 years, moved to Guelph last September. I've seen all the Blue Jay hype. I've tried to buy into it. I've been a Yankee fan for the last 10 years when I was in New York. Wanted to become a Blue Jay fan, and I got excited. Spring training, blah, 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 all the hype, listening to you, listening to the station, blah, blah, blah. But I had to call tonight. I mean, I don't see, this looks like a last place club to me. I mean,
and yet it's not.
Made them look poor in Toronto. Baltimore has made them look poor. I'm trying to be a Blue Jay fan. I'm trying to buy the hype. But in all honesty, I don't see it. I don't see. It can't hit. The starting pitching is not bad.
The starting pitching has been decent. The starting pitching has been outstanding.
Yeah, it's been decent.
It's been outstanding.
The defense has been decent. But I don't see who they're going to be in the East.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, I'm one other little sort of bone to pick. Not a bone to pick, but you keep talking about, like, after the Big Kansas City, you keep saying, oh, this will win 97 games. Now you're saying that this will win 95 games. Take away the four games that we played against the worst team in baseball.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to do that.
I understand you're not allowed to do that.
You know, it's not like if they had swept the Orioles at that.
There again, I'm trying to become a Blue Jay fan. What's our record against the teams in the East that we face? So now, what is our record now?
I guess the East, I want to say it's 4-8.
I mean,
I could be wrong, but I want to say 4-8.
How are we going to last with that kind of play? Like,
it's April 26th.
Convince me. I mean, I want to be a Blue Jay.
Well, obviously you don't, Robert. Because being a fan is not just liking a team that wins, right? And liking a team when it's winning. If you want to be a Blue Jays fan, then what you see is, wow, this team is really struggling offensively. Jose Bautista is not hitting, and he's one of many guys on this team who are not hitting. And yet, even with almost a complete lack of offense, they are above 500. They're right in the thick of things with nobody running away with the division. They just got swept by Baltimore. They're 1-5 against the Orioles this year, and the Orioles are a bad team.
You make a positive out of that.
But they are above 500 and they're two games out. I don't understand for the life of me. I don't understand how it's a negative that everything is going wrong for the Blue Jays, with the exception of the starting pitching. Nothing else is going well. And yet they're above 500 and they're two games out. How on earth is that not a positive?
Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
I mean, and with all due respect, I do listen to your show, you know, because I'm a big baseball fan, okay? I find you look at the glass half full all the time.
No, I look at the glass with the correct amount of water that is in it. I know the people want me to scream and yell and say that they're terrible and everybody should get sent down and everyone should be released and this is the worst team ever and how are they going to beat anybody in the AL and they're going to be lucky to finish with 50 wins. But none of that is true.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
In all honesty.
Yes.
Do you honestly believe that are they, which team will they finish above in the East? Just your opinion.
I think they will finish above two of the five teams in the East at least. I don't know which two. One of them will be Baltimore, but I don't know which other one. I kind of appreciate the call.
Well, that's quite a comment played with Baltimore so far.
That's correct. And yet they are two games behind them. What seems to be lost on you is that there are 143 games left to play. And this is what seems to be lost on a lot of people, is that those two things, A, there are 143 games left to play, and two, again, they are playing like crap, with the exception of the starting pitching, and they're above 500. Somebody please call me up and explain to me why that is not a good thing. Dave in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling, I hope.
So, actually, I'm feeling really hopeful about the Jays, unlike previous callers, in that I think we're really, really close. And, you know, small samples, like the last three games, can easily be thrown out and looking ahead.
Well, I mean, they were bad three games. There's no question about that. You can't throw them out just like you can't throw out the sweep of Kansas City. But it's not an indicator that they're not going to win another game all year.
Right. Now, but the one thing I do want to ask you about, which is maybe a growing sample size, is how do you feel that, because I haven't been able to watch the last few games, I've been busy.
Yep.
How does Bautista look at the plate to you?
He didn't look good tonight. You know what? He does not look like himself, and himself being the guy he was the last 2 years. And in the series, he was 1-for-11 with a walk. He struck out only three times, which is not bad.
Is he hitting the ball hard? No, he's not.
He's not hitting the ball hard. He's not crushing the pitches that he normally crushes.
All right.
He's off.
He's really struggling then.
Yeah, he's struggling. There's no question that he's struggling.
Well, I just want to ask you, about a week ago, somebody called in and said that they felt that Jose didn't look comfortable at the plate, and you really ripped into him.
No, they said he looked lost at the plate.
Lost, that's right. That was the word.
Yes.
Does he look lost? I hadn't seen him.
Horribly overused term, okay. And 95% of the time it's used incorrectly. But continue. I ripped into him because it wasn't true.
Okay. So he's just struggling. He's not, you don't feel like this is going to be something that we're going to see a lot of. You feel that...
That he's going to hit 190 this year? No, I don't think he's going to hit 190 this year.
You know, eventually, you know, everyone does decline. And you know, prior to this spectacular 2.5 seasons, you know...
He was solid.
Speak up, right?
Yeah, he was not great. He was solid. A guy who never got enough playing time. So, you know, even if the magic of the last 2 years is gone, there's no reason to believe that he's going to become a 200 hitter.
Yeah. No, I don't think so either.
Right. Yeah.
I just think that maybe the comment that was made was not as far off base, you know, that maybe the word was objectionable, but he is struggling. He has been struggling since somewhere in August last year, I think.
He's not been struggling since somewhere in August. A common misconception as well.
All right.
He wasn't himself. But...
Yeah.
You know, as poorly as Jose Bautista did in the second half of last season after the All-Star break, he destroyed his ankle that first game after the All-Star break. And since then, he's not been himself. But over in the second half of last season, Jose Bautista's 896 OPS would still have ranked in the top 10 in the American League for the entire season. So by no means did he struggle. He just didn't do what we were used to him doing. Thanks for the call, Dave. I appreciate it. And there's, you know, there's no two ways about it. Jose Bautista is off to a terrible start. And at this point, after this series, he's now off to a worse start than he was in April of 2010 when he got off to a bad start, too. I think he had an OPS of like 740 that month of April and only four home runs. He's got four more games in April to hit his fourth home run of the year, but now the OPS is below 700. Dennis in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I love the show. I've been listening to ever since you've been on.
Thank you.
You do a great job. I really have been a Jays fan since day one in the snowstorm. Back in 77, I just love the Jays. I've been to the pennant when George Bell caught the ball, and I've been down to see the World Series games. I see a lot of good here, but I see a lot of bad. What I see is Brett Lowry is a superstar. I think this guy's an unbelievable ball player. I'm a little worried about the hitting right now. I see a couple of weak spots, and it's in the relievers. I've seen Frazier come in and blow saves, and I've seen Jansen's do it too much.
Jason Fraser's not blown a save this year.
Well, not this year, but I see things that come back year after year, and I see Jansen's and him got to be better than they are, especially
Jansen was one of the best relievers in baseball last year.
Well, I just don't like the way Jansen's gives up the home runs. I don't like it.
I didn't like the one he gave up tonight.
No, he seems nervous on the mound.
He's not nervous at all on the mound.
When I watch it, I watch him. He seems a little...
He's not.
Well, maybe you don't think so.
I know. He's not. He wouldn't be able to be in the major leagues if he got nervous on the mound.
Well, some people are...
No.
Well, you know...
No. There's no well. There really isn't. I'm sorry.
How come he gives up so many home runs over the last few years?
He hasn't given up so many home runs over the last few years.
Well...
Last year, he was... I'm sorry. I'm trying not to get upset.
Not seeing what I'm seeing then.
No,
I watch the ball games every night.
Dennis, I'm seeing what's actually happening. And
okay.
You can't dismiss a factual statement by saying, well, it doesn't work that way. Casey Jansen.
All right, we'll see how he does this year. I'm not worried about Bautista, or I'd like to see Travis Snyder back up here hitting. I think he'd be good in the lineup when things are going rough. I know they're young. I know they're learning. I know that. I'm worried about the bullpen, especially with Santos down. I like Cordero. He's experienced, and Oliver. But the other two I'm a little worried about. As we go on in the season, we'll see how it goes.
Jansen gave up two home runs last year, by the way.
How many wins did he have?
He's a reliever. Who cares? And he was 6-0.
I care. If you're a reliever, you've got to save
wins. If you're a reliever, you shouldn't have any wins. He was 6-0 last year.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe it's
I understand. It's definitely you, and I appreciate the call. A fact cannot be dismissed by saying, well, I don't know. Wayne is in Clinton listening on CKNX 920. Hello, Wayne.
Good evening. I like your program immensely. I've been a listener for several years.
Thank you.
A little bit more this year because I'm a bit of an invalid for a couple more months yet. But anyway, there was a guy on, I think it was last Monday night or this Monday night we just had, really nitpicking about J.P. Arencibia. And I can't understand why he's so down on him. Because
he had two hits.
Great job. He's improved by light years defensively.
Yes.
Since last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he's calling a good game. They expect him to be hitting too. I think he will come around that he becomes a proficient hitter, but his main job is behind the plate and getting people out. He's starting to do a great job with runners going to second base as well. I think he's developing on the path that the management expected.
I think they I think they'd like to see a little bit more from the bat. But like you, I believe that, JP will hit. Nobody hit in this series. Aaron Sebia was 1-for-6 with a double in the series after going 7-for-15 in the four games before that. So I think that would make him 8 for his last 21, which is well over 350. So the bat's starting to come around. He's hit everywhere, you know, at every level he's played. He's kind of had a little bump in the road in the first year at a new level, but then the second year he's fine. And the reason that he was a number one pick is because of his bat. Like you said, and you're absolutely right, he is improving defensively. He has done a fantastic job of blocking balls in the dirt this year. And I believe the bat will come. I also believe the bat will come with a lot of the guys who aren't hitting right now, because pretty much nobody is hitting right now, with the exception of, believe it or not, Eric Thames. Thanks for the calls. We are going to say goodnight to the country at large, but we're going to keep it right here on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, for more Blue Jays talk all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern time. So stick with us. If you are elsewhere across the country, then you can hang with us on sportsnet590.ca. Blue Jays lose 5-2. They get swept in Baltimore and score one earned run in the three games. Just awful. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
1-2 pitch. Fastball hit on the ground wide at third. Lurie can't get it. Escobar does. From deep in the hole, they throw to first. Skips by. Here comes the runner to the plate. Karkakis scores, though, to second, not in time. This game is tied 2-2 on a hit and an error.
Rough way to tie it up after the Blue Jays take the lead on what was originally called a two-run triple by Eric Thames in the top of the sixth, but then later correctly ruled to change to a three-run error on Nick Johnson, who just played it like a bag of toys down the line. But that was the Blue Jays' breakthrough. They gave it back in the bottom of the sixth inning. Out went Drew Hutchison. In came Luis Perez, who was terrific in getting out of the sixth, but it put runners on the corners with one out in the seventh. Casey Jansen came in, bailed him out of that, but then Jansen gave up the home run by Adam Jones to lead off the eighth, and that was enough. The Blue Jays get three runs, only one of them earned, on 16 hits over the three-game sweep at the hands of the Baltimore Orioles. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Trying to keep things in a little bit of perspective. Jeff is in Hillsburg listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike. I just want to say I hope that the first a couple of the callers you've had on so far aren't representative of the average Blue Jays fan, because it's really disappointing, the lack of knowledge. I think there's housewives and squeegee kids throughout the United States that have more baseball knowledge than some of the people that have called in so far. The guy,
Knock,
and Casey Jansen, and
housewives and squeegee kids.
And Jason Frazier, I mean, he's totally out to lunch.
Jason Frazier's arguably been the best non-closing relief pitcher in the major leagues the last 8 years.
And how can you knock Casey Jansen, the job he's done the last
couple
of years?
Up too many home runs. He gave up two last year.
Yeah. What about Rajay Davis? I got to confess, my call is a little ill-timed. Because I've been meaning to call for a few days, but Rajay Davis, I feel like he's a much more value coming off the bench when a one-run game, if we get somebody on, as opposed to coming in for defensive purposes like he did a few times, like in the eighth inning in earlier games.
And I agree with you.
Furthermore to that, Colby Rasmus, I'm a huge fan of, as I know you are. When he struggled with the bat, we seem to, like, we keep him at his defense is phenomenal. In my opinion, Travis Snyder is a much, much better left fielder than Eric Thames, and I realize he struggled to hit off-speed pitches. But I'm just wondering if he continues to hit the cover off the ball in Las Vegas, if you see him getting another shot anytime soon.
I don't know how soon. I think that you know, if there's a shakeup, and if they've, which is something that, that really is outside of what Alex Anthopoulos does. He doesn't react emotionally, and he doesn't look at a three-game sweep and say, got to make major changes. But if at some point they do decide that there are changes that need to be made, I would think the first change would be to bring Travis Snyder up. But, you know, Alex has mentioned several times, really two things several times this past spring and over the winter. One is that Travis Snyder has never had a full season at any one level of professional baseball since he was in rookie ball in Ogden, Utah, I believe. And Alex feels that that's done him a disservice. The other thing is that this is their last chance to get him right. After this season, they can't send Travis Snyder down anymore. He will be out of options. He's
the only thing I want to... People seem to like Eric Thames because he made a better... Eric Thames is a year older than Travis Snyder.
Yes.
And although Travis Snyder's had a couple hundred more at-bats at the big leagues, he had them as a 21, 22, 3-year-old, well, probably before he was ready. And I just think that if he can learn to recognize the off-speed pitch and lay off it, or learn to hit it, or so. I just think he's a bona fide star.
I think he will be too. But again, I'm not sure how soon he's going to be up. They could call him up tonight, for all I know. I wouldn't bet on that. I think that they're going to leave Snyder down there until at least the end of May, maybe longer, no matter how he does, unless Eric Thames starts to really hurt them. And so far, he hasn't done that. I mean, he has butchered a couple of plays in the outfield, but only a couple. And it really hasn't hurt them yet. When he starts to, then that's probably when the switch will be made. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Joe. Well, that wasn't Joe. This is Joe. Wow, those guys are fast on the other side. Sorry about that, Jeff. Joe in Hamilton. Yeah. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Listen, Mike, I'm a Jays fan. Not diehard, but a Jays fan.
Glad to have you along.
Thanks. You know what? They were so hyped up in the offseason. They had a great spring training.
Yep.
I was starting to get interested. It's been the first time in years where I can probably name more than three players on the team.
Tremendous.
Well, they've been crap for so long.
They haven't been crap at all, by the way. I don't want to take you off track. They've had a losing record once in the last 6 years.
That's crap. If you're not making the postseason, you're crap.
Oh, you're a hockey fan, right?
Listen to me.
You do realize that only four teams in each league make the playoffs, right?
I realize that.
Okay. Thank you.
Continue. I'm starting to fall off the fence now, though. Like, they got swept by the Orioles. Like,
well, if you think that a team that doesn't make the playoffs is crap, you shouldn't be on the fence.
You should think that they're crap. I told you I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the Blue Jays. I'm just not dying. I'm just like I'm a Leafs fan, and they've been crap for the past 7 years.
They've been crap for the last 45
67
years.
67 outside. But
if being 10-9 after 19 games, if getting swept once all season, this is their first three-game losing streak of the year. If that's going to knock you off the fence, then you shouldn't be on the fence to begin with.
Why shouldn't I have been on the fence? You guys hyped them up like they were going to make the playoffs this year. And,
I most certainly did not.
And with the Yankees and the Rays, yes.
What?
All the talk shows, that's all everybody was saying. And then they had this great spring training, and then they only lost, whatever, three games, 16 in training. And now comes the regular season, and here we go again. Same thing every year. Just like the Leafs, same thing every year.
143 games left. They have exactly one three-game losing streak this year. If and that's the thing. That's why I said you shouldn't be on the fence to begin with. Because if you didn't... If you're willing to jump off 19 games in because they just got swept in Baltimore and are still above 500, and have the same record as the Detroit Tigers, who are probably the best team in baseball, are a half game worse than the New York Yankees. If that's willing, if that's what gets you to jump off, then you shouldn't be on to begin with, because you're just looking for, you know, just looking for a reason to stop watching. Thomas is in Toronto. Hello, Thomas.
Hi, Mike. And I think you're always just looking for a silver lining, Mike.
I'm only looking for what's real.
No, I don't think you are, because just the statement alone that you bringing up the Detroit Tigers, I mean, do you expect that the fans are going to have the same length of a leash that the Detroit Tigers have, who have been to the World Series this year? Were they in the playoffs last year? It's a completely different situation. It's irrelevant, even bringing up the Tigers.
How is it irrelevant to have the same record as the Tigers?
Because we're in a situation, these fans are sensitive because we haven't been to the dance in years. Detroit Tigers are a completely different situation. The leash is not nearly as long in Toronto as it is in Detroit. Come on. Like, seriously.
Leash for what? So you think that 19 games is a long enough leash because the Blue Jays haven't been to the playoffs in 20 years?
Absolutely. Just like you just mentioned, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the leash is short. Any team in Toronto right now, Toronto, probably one of the worst sports cities around, the leash is short. And you got to expect this outcry from the fans. Another thing, too, Baltimore Orioles, you're crying that this team is gonna finish.
I'm not crying. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Andrew Nye is standing by with an update. You know what? If you want to disagree, that's fine. If you want to do it civilly. No whining, no name calling. I don't do that to you, and I don't expect it from you. More of your calls when Andrew Nye is done. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Pitch, a curveball hit on the ground the first,
and it's through in the right field of base hit under the glove of Nick Johnson. Escobar scores. Here comes Jose. There is no throw. He scores, standing up on a triple for Eric Thames, and the Blue Jays are in flight, leading Baltimore 2-1 here in the sixth inning.
The Blue Jays' first lead of this series, and a very short-lived lead, because in the bottom of the sixth inning, Nick Markakis led off with a double, and then Adam Jones singled into the hole between short and third, and Yunel Escobar threw the ball away, allowing the run to score to tie the game. In the bottom of the eighth, Adam Jones, again, coming up big, he took Casey Jansen deep to untie it. Two batters later, Chris Davis with a two-run homer off Darren Oliver. And the Orioles had a 5-2 lead and a 5-2 win, and the Blue Jays leave Baltimore with their tails between their legs, having been swept and having scored only one earned run in the series. But there were 103 games left. In case you didn't hear that one, 143 games left. We're two games out. 10-9. Jerry is in Stratford, listening in on CJCS. How is Stratford, Jerry?
Going good, Mike. I have to jump on your bandwagon because I kind of agree with you. It's only 19 games. People, relax. If this was game 52 and they're playing the same way, they're only maybe 15, 20 games back, then you can bark all you want.
Yeah, but if it was game 52 and they were playing the same way, they'd be 28-24.
Yes, they would.
And there's no way they'd be 15 games back. They'd be, you know.
I agree with you. I agree. Right. I'm just throwing that number, like they're way back. Yeah. Then they can bark. But, like, they're right there with them. You know, they're one game, two games behind Baltimore. Baltimore's playing above what they're supposed to be doing, as you say. And I kind of agree with you. On paper, they're not playing the way they should be.
Nope.
And New York is kind of, you know, they're not playing the way they should be. They should be technically leading the division, but they're not. Tampa, I'd say they're pretty well right on par with what they should be doing, expected. Boston is not nowhere near where they're supposed to be. So, people, relax. Jays will come around. It's only the month of April. If they get out of April playing 500 baseball, hey, I'm happy with that. May comes around, Batista gets hot, it could be right back in first place again. Who knows? Right?
Sure. Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, for me, there's a bigger picture than that. If they finish April playing 500 ball, it's a matter of how they got to the 500 ball. And it's why I'm really not upset, because they're 10-9.
I'm not upset either.
Right. And I understand that. But it's not, I'm not saying, oh, well, they're 10-9 and that's fine. But I'm saying that they're 10-9 and they're not playing well. And that's, so that's a good thing.
Right.
If they were playing well and they were only 10-9, and then it might be a little bit different.
Yeah, if the pitching was, you know, less than par, they could be like Boston.
Yep, they could. But Boston's only going to be 3.5 games out after tonight, despite how terrible they've been.
And if New York loses tonight, they're still tied with New York.
They're not playing.
Well, they're not playing tonight?
No, so they lose a half game to New York no matter what, but it's only a half game.
Exactly, half game, big deal.
Right.
If, like I said, this is the end of June and they're in last place in the division, then people can say, what is going on? That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. And yes, they did get off to a good start this spring. And yes, they were hyped a lot by a lot of people. But I don't think anybody said, I'm sure the Blue Jays will be a playoff team this year. Even the most optimistic, quote unquote, pundit didn't say the Blue Jays are going to make the playoffs. It was, hey, you know what? They might squeak into that second wild card. And there was certainly nobody out there who told you the Blue Jays are probably going to win every night like they did in the spring. Brandon is in Peterborough. Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just got a couple of quick questions. The first one is the play that Escobar made there in the, I think it was the seventh inning or something, where it was 2-2 and Jones was batting.
The sixth inning, yeah.
Yeah, I just think he should have been more aware of the situation, who was batting, and because the ball was hit so deep, right? And Jones, with a lot of speed, obviously going to make it to first, so maybe he should have just held the ball instead of throwing it away.
Instead of throwing it away, period. Yeah. You should always hold the ball if you're going to throw it away.
That's what I meant, yeah.
But, yeah, he should not have made that throw.
Yeah, just being more aware of what the situation is, I guess.
It didn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't have made that throw. You're right.
Yeah.
But he made, he kind of made up for it with a great play on the next hitter.
Yeah.
Because he got Jones going from second to third on a ground ball to short.
Yeah. And the other thing, the Snyder Thames situation in left field, I've been watching, I watched all the games this season, and I just see Thames as not great defensively, but he's all right at the plate so far. He's been one of the more productive hitters. But I see if the Jays are going to be, like you said, they're rebuilding. They're probably not going to, if they're not going to make the playoffs this year, you might as well have Snyder playing left field and give him a chance to show what he's got for a full year. I don't see Thames as a future left fielder for the Jays. I don't know what you think about that, but that's just my opinion.
I think you've crystallized Eric Thames pretty much entirely there. Not great defensively, decent hitter. That's who he is. Not great defensively, he's a decent hitter. Travis Snyder has a chance to be great defensively and a great hitter. Now, I'm not going to argue with Alex Anthopoulos if he wants to keep Travis Snyder down in AAA for a couple of months to try his best to make sure they get him straight before they bring him up, because the next time they bring him up, they pretty much have to bring him up for good. But, and I do like Eric Thames, but it would be nice to see Snyder here. There's no question about it. Now, if Travis Snyder's here, are the Blue Jays 13-6 instead of 10-9? Absolutely not. And remember, Eric Thames drove in every run the Blue Jays scored in this series, which is not saying much, but he's the only one who did. Joe in Barrie, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. A couple things quick. Number one, contrary to what a lot of people think when they call, I think you do a great job and keep up the good work.
It's well of you to say thank you.
The guy from Stratford kind of stole my thunder, but I I don't usually call in very often. I listen to you all the time, and I basically just want to tell everyone to chill out. 19 games into a 162-game schedule is a very minute portion of it. You have to bank on one or two of the big guns starting to come around at some point, and when they do, I think you won't be getting a lot of these phone calls that you're getting now. Kind of the silver lining to all the negativity that's been coming in, it's actually nice to see, as crazy as these callers have been driving me, and that's why I had to call in, but it's kind of nice to hear that people actually give a crap about the Jays again, because it's been a long time since you kind of got this much passion. And being as big as a Leaf fan that I am, you get it all the time on Leaf Talk because, you know, of how bad they've been for so many years. So as much as people need to chill out and relax, it's a long season. It is kind of nice that they finally, you know, give a crap about the team again and they're showing that passion.
I think you're right. And I appreciate the call. And I thank you for calling to try to lend an air of rationality to the proceedings this evening. But I think you're absolutely right. Irrational negativity is better than apathy. And I don't think there's been apathy, but the last few years, but there hasn't been this. There hasn't been this level of anything, positive or negative, as much as the negative that we've been getting through the first 19 games of this season. I have to mention, because a couple of people have brought it up on Twitter tonight, how badly the Blue Jays have played against the Indians, Royals, and Orioles. 7-6 against the Indians, Royals, and Orioles is unacceptable. How can you call yourself a good team if you're going to go 7-6 against the Indians, Royals, and Orioles? Been brought up by more than one person. So I will say this, and people who don't understand the word defending will think I'm defending the Blue Jays by saying this completely true and factual statement. Yes, the Blue Jays are 7-6 against the Indians, Orioles, and Royals. Included in that, they are 6-1 against the Indians and Royals. Thank you. Rui, I'm assuming, is in Toronto. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm calling to say the same thing as the last half of your callers have said, but that's kind of comforting. Everyone is being so negative about a really good team. We are so much better than we were last year. We have Sergio Santos. We have Kelly Johnson. We have Colby Rasmus. I'm so optimistic about this lineup, and you're going to lose at least 70 games, I'm sure, in a season.
Oh, I think so.
I don't know
you
what
make the playoffs if you lose 70 games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got 61 to go.
That's a countdown.
That's right. That's 12 a month the rest of the way. That's 12 losses a month, which is three a week.
Which kinda. Is, I mean, we've hit our quota for the week, I guess. But
that's right.
You know, I think this team is really good, and it's the third week of the season. So I don't know what the big negative deal is. I think it's going to be a pretty awesome season. And the fact that we have so many more good players than we did last year when we had Corey Patterson instead of Colby Rasmus.
Jason Nix instead of Brett Laurie.
Exactly.
Yep. Jason Nix had more bats at third base than anybody on the team last year.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. I mean, even I think that one statistic sums it up pretty well then.
Thank you, Rui. Appreciate the call. There's lots to be happy about the Blue Jays this year. There is not much at all to be happy about what just happened in Baltimore. But that's not a referendum on the next 143 games. Keith is in Scarborough. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just want to say I want to echo what one of the callers, Joe, a couple of callers before. I think you do a great job. You definitely know what you're talking about, and I learned a lot from listening to you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. My comment is the fact that Toronto, and somebody echoed this earlier, the fact that Toronto is still above 500 and playing this poorly, or playing this side against Baltimore anyway, I kind of think that if they're still above 500 playing the way they are, imagine how good they're going to do when they get everything together. And I think, one, as I said to the screener, I'm wondering, because some of the players have been moved around a lot in the lineup, like Brett Laurie's hit sixth, seventh, and second so far that I think.
Sixth, seventh, and second, I believe.
Yeah. Now, I'm wondering if maybe some of the players are they're still trying to identify some of the roles that are being asked of them or what they think they should be doing. I don't know if confusion would maybe be the right word, but I still have a very optimistic outlook. I think they're going to be a great team. I really do. Got some excellent players, and I like the way the season has begun so far. I see a lot of hope for them.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, Keith. The Blue Jays are 9-4 this year against everybody but the Orioles. I think he was absolutely right. And I don't know why more people don't seem to see this or can't seem to see this. I'm not sure. Again, they're 10-9. They're not playing well. Even in going 9-4 against everybody but the Orioles, they didn't play especially well. They've had two games in which they've, taken a lead of more than two runs into the ninth inning? Didn't look that up. That's just off the top of my head, but I think that's the case. They have not played well. They've gotten great starting pitching. They've hit tremendously with runners in scoring position. They're leading the major leagues. But they haven't done anything else well. Still above 500. There's so much room for growth when the players, the hitters, get to the level at which they should be. The indication from the other side of the glass is that this is going to be our last caller on the Blue Jays talk tonight. We go back where we started, to Guelph. Patrick, welcome to the program.
Mike, thanks for taking my call, sir.
My pleasure.
All right. I'm going to make this quick because it's your last one. I just got to say, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with your show. I love listening to you talk to the guys, like the guy trying to say, Casey Jansen gives up too many home runs. I mean, you know, it's fun when you can use facts and things like that to back up your point.
I like using facts.
Well, you got to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only way to do it.
Right.
But, you know, the frustrating part is listening to people coming on and, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but just this doom and gloom, you know, it's frustrating to listen to, you know what I mean? I don't like to use comparisons, but I will say that the good teams, sometimes they don't win, you know, they get swept. I mean, look at the Detroit Tigers. They got swept at home by Seattle this
week. That's right. They did.
I mean, you know, you got to take the lumps, and it's a long season, and, I'll end it off there by just saying thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and do a great job on there, Mike. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Great way to end it. I like when people end it by saying how wonderful I am. I do appreciate that. But you know what? It is frustrating, and a lot of the negativity, I'm sure, is frustrating to listen to. It's frustrating for me to listen to, too. But you know what? The Blue Jays were really frustrating to watch these three games in Baltimore. And I understand why people would be upset with what happened in Baltimore. But you can't forget all the other stuff that happened this year, too. And the fact that they're coming home off of a winning road trip, even though they just got swept in one of the two series that they played on this trip. Thank you all for calling. Thank you all for listening. The Blue Jays lose 5-2 to the Baltimore Orioles tonight. They get swept. They are back home tomorrow to start a 6-game homestand, 3 with the Mariners, 3 with the Rangers. It will begin with Ricky Romero against Blake Bevin. We'll have it for you starting at 7 o'clock for a 7:07 first pitch tomorrow night. Be sure to join us. Thanks to Gord Brunt, Derek Brandale, all of you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.